You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
It's Wednesday, March 27th, and you are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast.
That is the voice of today's special guest. She is a witness to some of the world's biggest events. Conveniently for us, she's nice enough to report back from those events and share with us what it looks like and sounds like, and most magically of all, what it feels like at, an opening ceremony of the Olympics, a World Series, or NBA Finals Game 7. She's taken us to Times Square on New Year's Eve. That was very nice of you. To red carpet events and Kentucky Derbies. Listener, in this woman's world, you're not near the Major League Baseball diamond. You're not next to the NBA hard court. You're on it. And she's been inviting us onto NFL fields for over 20 years now, on Monday nights, Super Bowl nights. And of course, every Sunday night, she pulls us into the immediacy of NFL moments, including, of course, those can't catch your breath, game just ended, raw emotion moments from guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. In her sixth season hosting the Emmy Award-winning series NFL 360, she is someone who I really hope knows what a good deed her work can be, because it connects us. It connects all of us in ways that only sport can. Please put your hands together and a warm welcome for the podcast debutante, Melissa Stark.
What up, dude? Gosh.
Wait, I want to take you everywhere with me. Can you introduce me every time I walk into a room?
Oh, dude, I'll be your hype man whenever, wherever. Stark, you don't do it halfway.
Fabulous.
Listen, your resume is incredible. It reads to me like the story of a lavishly rich sports fanatic who's just ripping through a bucket list of events to attend. Have you ever covered an America's Cup? Because you kind of give sailing vibes. I think that's the last thing. That and like wartime correspondent. Those are the only two things missing on your resume. You've done everything else.
That is what I originally, you know what? If you go back to one of the original articles written about me in Vogue, it said I wanted to be Christiane Amanpour and I wanted to be covering. Yes, but thank goodness Four Kids Later, that just would not have worked at all. But you know what? One thing, did you put golf in there? Because I did cover the U.S. Open and Tiger Woods, and I don't know if that was in there.
Oh, so listener, let the record show that long list of plaudits wasn't quite enough for Melissa. Okay, you can relive, Melissa, you can relive one event. One of those spectacles that I just rattled off, forgive me for missing the PGA, you can go back, but only to one. Can you possibly choose?
No, I can't, because they're all so incredible in their own right, right? I mean, when you're dealing with a Tiger Woods, or then you're at the Olympics and you're covering swimming and Michael Phelps, where you mentioned Tom Brady and those guys. I mean, you cannot choose. There's no way to choose. They're all incredible, and I feel so blessed that this is my career.
Well, I'm so blessed that you could join us today. I really am so honored that you are here. I am your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy, and on today's show, Melissa is joined by a second guest. Coop, can I get some mystery guest music here, please? Oh, very, very nice. Our second guest is a creator, a filmmaker, and a thoroughly fascinating human being. She is Kate Espejo. Kate, I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks for having me. This is my very first podcast, so I'm excited to be doing it with you.
Full disclosure, Kate has not slept. She has not slept. She just flew in from the owner's meeting in where? Orlando?
Orlando, yeah.
Sorry, on two levels for that. And Melissa is coming to us from New Jersey, sort of a bloodless room in New Jersey. Listener, you can't see it, so no judgment. Kate is joining us right here in studio. Super glamorous, right? I told you.
It's pretty impressive.
Pod save the world, and pod we trust. Okay, to the business at hand. Melissa and Kate are here today on behalf of something, listener, that you need to see. And I don't throw that around. You know this. But you do. You need to see what these two and their NFL 360 teammates have created. It's their annual Women in Football special airing on Fox, noon Eastern. That's 9 a.m. on the West Coast. Set a record for this Saturday. Melissa, as host of NFL 360, this is your sixth Women in Football special. And in that time, you have brought to us so many stories of extraordinary people, women all, owners and legends and real-time ceiling shatterers, stories of NFL coaches. Mel, your friend Lori Locust comes to mind.
Yes.
Stories of referees like Sarah Thomas and real-life heroes like Kathy Lanier, the chief. Listener, Kathy Lanier is a name you need to know. She is in charge of NFL security. That's every stadium, every Super Bowl. We're talking top secret level risk assessment, Navy SEAL level ops, on the ready kind of stuff, right? When we walk into stadiums and settle in for 3 hours of high-level entertainment, we do so knowing that Kathy Lanier has our back. And for you, Melissa, I know these stories get personal because, yes, these are voices of leadership and authority, but for you, they are also treasured colleagues and friends.
They are, and I've developed a special and unique relationship. Like you said, we've been doing this for 6 years. We started with this incredible round table of women, and Andrea Kramer was on it, and a bunch of the women that you just mentioned, Toni Harris, Antoinette Harris, and she was the first female ever. She made history to get a college scholarship.
That's right.
As a non-kicker.
Correct.
And we've stayed in touch, and now you fast forward, and I'm sure many people remember the face of the NFL's Super Bowl commercial last year, Deanna Flores. We had her on. I mean, she represents flag. She's an ambassador for the NFL. She's flag football. She's Mexican. She won the gold medal. And she's incredible. And you mentioned Lo Locust. You know, it's fun. Lo went from the Buccaneers. Now she's with the Titans. And just to hear their stories and to hear what they overcame and to hear that they never took no. There's a common theme, you know, the hard work, never taking no for an answer. There's not one path. I often have people come to me and say, you know, how do I be you? Or how do I break in? Or there's not one way to do it. You know, if you look at the way I did it 25 plus years ago, close to 30 years ago, there weren't iPhones. There weren't, you know, I had to befriend a cameraman. I did fake stand-ups in front of the White House. I did, you know, all these crazy things to try to break into the business. And there's not one way to do it, but I would say that the themes are determination, not taking, you know, someone once told me, if you don't ask, the answer's always no.
Right.
So just keep asking, keep pushing, and that hard work. And their stories are incredible. And yes, like you said, you know, I'll see Sarah Thomas during a game. She'll come over to me on the sidelines right before the game, or Lo Locust. And it's just fun to have this sorority of women, you know, and to see it evolve the way women in football has evolved over the last 25 years. And I know we'll get to that.
Mel, if we are judged by the company we keep, you really are kind of stacking the deck there. It's showing off and it's not fair. Kate, coming up, you're going to make the introductions to a woman who is on a path to become an NFL GM. And if she does, maybe when she does, she very likely won't be the NFL's only female GM. Her name is Ashton Washington, who at this very moment sits with the Caleb Williams decision. That's a story you have to hear. But first, underneath the stories of these game-changing women that Mel just rattled off the names of only a few of them, there runs a current that was strong 6 years ago, and it is irresistible now. Watch football, cheerlead, listen to you guys drone on about it. Yeah, okay, here's an idea. Give me the damn ball. Women and girls want to play football, and they are playing it, and they're crushing it. Kate, one of the stories in your special is called Back in the Game.
Drew Brees has started a girls' flag football league, one of so many, popping up everywhere. Wherever this reaches you, listener, you are within driving distance of a flag football league. And I love this segment because it's such a measure of the moment. Kate Espejo, we meet today at a moment in which girls are dreaming about playing for their country while playing in their local leagues or for their high school teams. You did play as a kid, as much as you could, but you had dreams of playing more. Is what we are seeing out there now kind of what you had in mind?
I mean, I never would have imagined that it would become like this. Never am I thinking my wildest dreams, you know, because when I was growing up, I played during recess with the boys. I played with my male cousins out in the backyard, and football was always my favorite sport to play, but of course, there was no place for me to play. The only time when there actually was when I was in middle school. They actually held a powder puff tournament for girls for, you know, we had practice for 3 weeks, and then we had one tournament that we went to, and it was probably, you know, I played various sports, but that was my absolute favorite tournament or even just day playing sports I think I ever had, because I loved it so much. And I was really disappointed when our high school didn't have the annual powder puff game, because they were, you know, they were saying that we would fight the rival school, but that, I mean,
they were worried about fights breaking out. They were worried about fisticuffs.
Yeah. So they were like, oh, you that toughs. Team. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm a pretty tough person, but I'm not going to fight
right
anybody.
You are.
But yeah, so I, you know, when I first started covering a lot of these different stories, like with Sam Gordon, who was trying to get girls tackle football sanctioned in Utah and eventually lost. And then, you know, last year with Leaving a Legacy, the other 360 show or 360 feature that we did during the Women in Football episode, you know, with that one, it was just amazing to me seeing these girls that have been playing forever and were like, yeah, you know, I'll play in high school and play in this high school league and kind of set the groundwork for it to be sanctioned in their part of California. And then at the end, while we were filming with them, it got sanctioned in the entire state of California. And it blew my mind. And then with this latest piece, with Back in the Game, getting to see all these, it was 140 little girls from like kindergarten to 10th grade out there with Drew Brees in the pouring rain. And none of them were complaining. They were having just the time of their lives. And, you know, as you'll see in the piece, some of those girls talking to them were saying things like, yeah, like I have the option to now play in college. With this one little girl, Taylor, who I think was about 10 years old, she was saying something like, I want to go to a high school that has a really good girls football program. If you'd have told me that that was something a girl would have said back when I was in high school, I'd have been like, what are you talking about? I mean, and it's just, I'm so happy with how far the game has come and where, you know, how it's going to expand, because it's only getting bigger. Like, even just in the short time I've been covering it, it has grown exponentially, and it makes me so happy and a little bit jealous, to be honest.
Here is an excerpt of Back in the Game. Now, you will hear the voice of Drew Brees for sure, but listen for the real stars of this piece, the voices of these little girls, these young kids, these football players.
You know, I've got a fourth grade daughter, and I would love nothing more to see her playing flag football. Not because I think that she's going to be, you know, the next Olympic athlete representing the U.S., but because I know what this sport has meant for me. I know what this sport means to so many young people.
Playing against guys who show up to the game and they all kind of give you that look like, oh, we're playing a girls' team, like, this is going to be easy. Then you beat them and it's like, you aren't better than us just because you're guys. So it really boosts your confidence.
It's showing that girls can do stuff too, and like, they're just as powerful and strong as boys.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all. But here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around, hey, stranger, I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot?
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right, so what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy with NFL 360 host Melissa Stark and NFL 360 producer Kate Espejo. The sixth annual Women in Football special airs Saturday, 12 noon Eastern on Fox. You can also watch these segments on NFL.com/NFL360. Mel, the best quote for me in the flag football segment that we heard right before the break, you aren't better than us just because your guys were just as powerful. Just amazing truth and wisdom from a 12-year-old. But in your career, that was an idea that was met with resistance. You were tested over and over again by men who were threatened enough to make taking their test part of your gig. Do you mind taking us back to moments that will make me ashamed, but will really ground us in the truth of how far we've come? Because there is story or seven that you can tell us about this.
Yeah. Well, before I get to that, I just want to say that the piece with Drew Brees is awesome, and his enthusiasm for these girls, and he tells you that, you know, the girls are easier to coach than the boys, and just the smile on his face. And that came out of, I actually called Drew because I also am the sideline for Sunday Night Football, and I called Drew about something, about asking him about some quarterback, and he said, well, I'm on my way to go coach this league. And I said, oh my gosh, we want to do this story. This is fabulous. And it's not even one of his own daughters. I'm right, Kate, right with that?
Yeah.
It's not even.
Yeah. His daughter does not play. Yeah.
Yeah. I just love it. You have to see this. This Drew Brees is amazing. Okay. So let me take you back I hope women nowadays, or young girls that are getting into this career, don't experience, you know, some of the things that I did. You know, with baseball, you know, they would ask me, I'd walk in or I'd be out at batting practice, and they'd ask if Peter Gammons, who was, you know, the baseball expert or guru at ESPN, had given me all my questions. Or I was covering golf, and Jack Nicklaus said that I might be pretty to look at, but I was standing in his line, and could I please move? And it was a made-for-TV golf event where, you know, you're in front of the cameras, and it was casual. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't the U.S. Open or anything. You know, just things like that. And I remember Andy Rooney, and people probably don't, you know, I'm not sure the age of the people listening to this podcast, but he was on 60 Minutes, and he would give his closing thoughts.
Right.
And he said, a woman should not be talking to us about football. And, you know, even my own husband, it's hilarious. I can't even believe I'm sharing this, but he played football at Princeton, and his brother was the best man at our wedding. And he said something to the effect of, my brother, when he first saw a woman talking about football, thought, what can a woman teach me about football? And we have this very funny picture at our wedding where my husband's putting his hands over his mouth like, oops. I'm thinking, well, my, how times have changed. You know, so it just, I, it's, when you say ashamed, make you ashamed, you know, it's it just wasn't the norm. And now, I mean, if flag football was what it is right now, I have twin 17-year-old daughters. They would have loved it. They missed that boat by, you know, Kate, I don't know, 5 years, you know, however many years it is. They just missed it, right? So they do track and soccer instead. But how fun for this up-and-coming generation of young girls. So I'm excited about where we are and how far we've come, especially given the perspective, yes, that I do have, being one of the first females to be in this whole man's world. I remember I would wear my glasses, I would wear no makeup. I just wanted to be one of the guys. I just wanted to blend in.
So that was part of the deal for you, was an intentional kind of hiding of your femininity in order to what? In order to fit in? What was the angle there?
Yeah, I mean, yes, just to not stand out as a woman, not be flirted with, not be hit on, you know, that type of thing.
Yes,
I think
yes.
It was hard in that age era of, you know, sources are everything. Our connections are everything. How many cell phone numbers I have in my phone is everything of who if I can call this person and this person, you know, that's critical. And to get up next to a guy and say, well, can I have your cell phone? When you're a 25-year-old, you know, single female,
yeah,
is difficult. It might, yeah, you know what? It might still be very difficult now. Mm-hmm. I have the perspective now of, you know, kind of being their mother's age, being married, having 4 kids. So I don't face that. I have the luxury of that, I would say now. So that might still exist because, yeah, I mean, let's face it, it probably does.
Kate and Melissa, there is a segment in your Women in Football special, again, that airs Saturday on Fox, 12 noon Eastern, Set, a reminder. It's called Unapologetic. It's the story of Antoinette Harris, who, Mel, you referenced earlier on this show. Toni Harris, the first woman to earn a collegiate scholarship as a non-kicker. She's a defensive back. Her story is stunning because what it took to prove herself on the football field was child's play compared to what she faced in the way of challenges, personal and familial, off of it. But she was the only girl playing varsity football. And the kind, yes, of resistance that she got for that isn't hard to guess, listener. This is a man's sport. You can hear that one echoing through so many halls even to this day. Some dismissed it as a publicity stunt. No way that's for real, they said. And then this is my favorite, the doubt disguised as concern. Countless questions along the lines of, are you sure about this? And yeah, listener, Toni Harris was sure about this even after her cancer treatments.
I went to the doctor's office because my cycle was really irregular. That was just one of the roughest moments of my life. I went from 174 to 90 pounds. The back of my hair had fell out, and at that moment, I didn't know what to do. I wanted to give up. That was some of the hardest training I had in my life. Anytime I hit something on my body, it would bruise.
And then she started working out more. Starting to physically grow. She started putting muscle back on her frame. She struggled, but she got through it.
That is an excerpt from Unapologetic, the Toni Harris story, part of the NFL 360 Women in Football special. Melissa, you mentioned your twin girls who, like all of our children, live in a see me, be me world. It helps to see someone who looks like you doing the thing that you want to do in order to believe the dream of doing it too. Seeing Toni Harris play gives shape to a dream. It's totally possible. She proves that it is. We see it from her and women like Callie Brownson, who played for years and now coaches for the Browns. Mm-hmm. Mel, your daughters get to see mom do some pretty cool stuff. That's a dream that you make possible for so many women. Women like the lead producer of the Toni Harris piece, Emmy Award winner India Wright, who's sitting in this studio right now. You can't see her, but she's here, who saw you on television when she was growing up, and she pointed at the television and she said, and I quoted you, India, I want to do that someday. Melissa Stark, my question for you, who was your Melissa Stark?
That's so interesting. I didn't know you were going there. There wasn't. That's just it. There wasn't one. There wasn't one. You know, there was I love interviewing and getting information. And so I guess I would say it was you know, a Diane Sawyer or a Barbara Walters. And I also like news. I like the newsy aspect.
Right.
Of
that explained
reporting.
the Christiane Amanpour connection, right?
Yes. Yes.
Thank God you didn't do that, Mel.
Thank goodness. Right. Right. I mean, my life would be completely different. But, you know, going back to my girls, and it's funny that you say that. And when India said that to me in one of our discussions, and that was a couple of years ago on one of our Women in Football episodes, you know, it's incredible that she saw it that way. But when you're doing it and you're living it, you just think, I'm doing what I've always wanted to do, and right. I'm just doing it. You're not, right. I'm not necessarily thinking about that, but then on the flip side, I am so happy. I went to the University of Virginia. Anybody who calls me from the University of Virginia, or any girl, you know, any family friend or whatever that wants to get in, I am so happy to talk to them and to encourage them and also to explain, you know, how hard it is. And I mentioned that I went back and I was a guest speaker at one of the broadcasting classes at UVA recently, and someone had a fantastic question. And they said, what would you tell yourself, like your 25-year-old self now, looking back? And I just thought, you know what? I would tell myself that I belonged, because I didn't feel that at that time. I definitely had that doubt, again, not wearing makeup, wearing glasses, doing this. Do I belong? I'm in a man's world. Can I make it? What do they think of me? Am I smart enough? Do I know football enough? You know, I mean, you're constantly questioning yourself, because you look around and really you at that time, you really are the only female there. Now it's completely different and it's evolved and you see so many more. And, you know, it's a different story, and I hope that, and I really hope that for women now. And as we talk about on this NFL 360 special that we have, whenever anybody does like a Toni Harris excels at what she's doing, or a low locust as a coach, whenever it opens the doors for these women, for this next generation of women. So I champion anyone who does a fantastic job in broadcasting, and anyone, you know, I'm not looking at it as I do look at it as like this sorority, this women that we need to champion and we need to uplift, you know, not necessarily as a threat, you know,
yes.
it's fabulous that more and more women are getting into it.
After the break, Kate will introduce us to the first female scout in Chicago Bears history, who is being talked about as a future NFL GM. NFL Total Access, the podcast, coming right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Yeah.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy with Melissa Stark and Kate Espejo, who are here on behalf of the NFL 360 Women in Football special. That's airing on Fox Saturday, noon Eastern. I'm going to keep saying it until you set your record. You can also check it out on NFL.com/NFL360. Now, Kate, the special features a story called Jobs Not Finished. That, the mantra of an extraordinary person named Ashton Washington, the first female scout in the history of the Chicago Bears franchise. Kate, NFL 360 producer, this is your passion project. You found it, you pitched it, you fought for it, and you made it happen. What made Ashton's a story that you had to tell?
There are so many different aspects of her story that I really, truly loved. It was one of the moments where I just kind of despised what I was seeing on TV. And I won't say who it was, but it was like, you could find it easily. As a player, after a woman asked him a question about a route, and he said, "Oh, I think this is hilarious, a female asking me a question about routes." And to me, you know, it's like, I can kind of talk about routes. I know Melissa can talk about routes. There are so many women in this building that can talk about routes. And with Ashton, hearing that she was a scout, to me, it's like, well, not only does this woman probably know about, you know, routes and plays and coverage and everything, but she can also determine what makes a great player. And to me, that's just super interesting, because when you imagine scouts, you tend to think about guys that have played before. And Ashton hadn't, but she, through watching her brother play and her father coach, she developed a love for the game and could kind of help her brother get better by talking with her dad and watching him play. And that's where she fell in love with football. And so she fell in love with football and decided that, you know, rather than become an attorney, she wanted to get into football as a career. And so she fought so, so hard, took all these internships, took jobs that paid her nothing, and took other jobs at places like a taco truck and a grocery store to help fund her traveling to different parts of the country to kind of become an expert in high school recruits and everything. And that, to me, was a testament to her passion and how much she wanted it. And then once she finally kind of got her big break, where she got hired on by Coach Lovie Smith, she then decides, with her very first paycheck that she's ever gotten, that she's going to start a scholarship, the Ashton Washington Women of Color Scholarship, in order to help assist young women of color that are going to HBCUs in Mississippi, because that was what her grandmother did. So to me, it was just like, here's someone that quite literally blazed their own trail to get into football and then doesn't shut the door behind her and sees, you know, this was difficult for me, so I'm going to make it easier for others. And in working with her, I mean, just an incredible human, and I truly loved working on it. And she's someone that I would not be surprised if Ashton were to become the very first female GM of an NFL team. She's just got it.
During the time my brother was playing flag football, my dad was coaching, I would look around and I would see girls cheerleading. I'm like, okay, so girls are supposed to just cheerlead and cheer their boys on as they play football. And for me, I was never the cheerleading type. This is not it. This is not what I want to do.
I was hanging on her every word. This piece is incredible. And I love that she took chances. She, again, didn't take no for an answer. And she didn't want to accept the, she mentions cheerleaders, you know, the traditional roles. She didn't want to accept the traditional roles. And she created this. I'm a big believer in creating your own opportunities. It takes work, it takes guts, and she's got it.
It's beautiful filmmaking, Kate. It really is, and a wonderful piece of storytelling. I am so taken by the strength of Ashton's power, or maybe it's the power of her strength. It's undeniable, but it's delivered in such a chill and joyful way. She is a lifelong student of the game, and she is, as you discovered, commanding a great deal of respect and attention in the Bears organization. I get a sense from you that Ashton Washington is a bit of a rock star.
Oh, I mean, that's putting it mildly. When I was walking around just the building with her, when we were filming, every single person in that building knew who she was. And it wasn't just like, oh, hey, hi, Ashton. It was like she would stop and talk to them and you know, have a at-length conversation with them. And they all, you could tell, just wanted, you know, I felt like I was walking around with the cool kid. When she sat with us when we were eating breakfast, I felt like we were at the cool kid's table with her. Because she just is one of those people that just by being herself draws you to her. She's got, she's just so magnetic. And she commands a lot of respect just because she's so, she's so intentional with everything that she does. And you can tell that she's a person that really wants to uplift everyone around her. In the piece, we kind of touch upon the fact that Ashton, you know, she reads a lot of books and has this growth mindset. And again, she tries to help others. And so what she does is whenever she reads a book that she really likes or thinks that someone can take something from, she'll buy another copy, she'll inscribe it and give it to someone that she thinks could use it. And she's done that for Ryan Poles, the GM. He mentioned a few books that she's given him. So, you know, she's just someone that you can tell. She's just, the only way I can describe her is that she's just super special.
You employed chess and puzzle imagery throughout this film. Ashton speaks of it. How intentional, you just mentioned, she is. How strategic she is. Step one for her was knowing. Knowing by reading. Gathering a wealth of information. Challenging it. And applying it.
Out of nowhere, I get an email from the University of Illinois. It says, you have a Zoom call set with Coach Lovie Smith.
When you're good at your profession, word gets around. We were looking for a person that could evaluate players, that would be good, you know, selling our university.
And he says, a lot of people have been telling me to get in contact with you. Why is that?
And she believes that if you want to be great, you should study the greats that precede you. Very strategic approach she takes. A four-point plan, she references, I believe, of reading, dreaming, working, strategizing, always getting better. And when faced with a challenge, in her case, it was getting fired 4 months into what she thought was going to be her big break, she relies on the most trusted strategies of all, the basics, the foundational truths. Kate, you fought for this story, as I mentioned before. Was there a moment while making it when you knew this is why I fought for this story?
Ashton's interview, because that was the moment where, when we had first started, a lot of people, because we had no idea going into it, we just thought, oh, she's a scout, this is really cool, this is a great story, you know, player personnel coordinator. And we thought, okay, well, we'll just talk about how she faced all this different adversity getting into the role that she has now. And then when we dived a bit deeper, we realized, oh no, this is just the beginning of where she could end up. You know, her trajectory is just headed straight up. And so, you know, when I interviewed Ryan Poles and George McCaskey and Kevin Warren, all these, I mean, the guys that are running the Bears organization, and each and every one of them said, Ashton could be a GM.
She's just all about hard work, dedication, fairness. She can do whatever she wants. She could be a general manager, she could be a president, she could be a CEO. She just transcends race and gender.
The way that she was talking about things, the way that she was kind of walking me through her story, led me to believe that, like, yeah, this is someone who, a huge major setback, like being let go when she was let go from the University of Illinois, was just a blip in her story. To me, it would have been devastating.
Right.
I probably would.
Oh, to me, it would have been totally derailing.
Yeah, I would have lost my
Seek
life.
New pastures.
Exactly.
Not her.
Not her. No, for her, it was like, all right, her dad says this, and it's actually not in the piece, but in the interview, he told me, he said, she called me and she said, can I be sad for a day? And he said, you got a day. And so she said, okay. She took a day to be sad, and
love
then just immediately jumped back on the horse and just started sending emails and reaching out to people and trying to find another way back, and then ended up with the Chicago Bears pretty shortly after.
Another fire was lit. Back at it again, let's get it. Job's not finished.
To me, that just goes to show how absolutely determined she is to just leave her mark on the NFL.
How determined she is, but also how knowledgeable she is, because the fact is she got that call from the Bears because she had already established in those 4 months at Illinois and in all the years prior a reputation based on acumen, based on knowing the answer, based on being able to read players' as they stand now and what their ceiling might be, projection versus production, all of that. I'm amazed at Ashton Washington's confidence to let her authentic self remain unmasked and seemingly unafraid. She doesn't rely on bombast or arrogance. Listener, you can hear it in the clip. She relies on what she has learned and what she trusts, on what she feels, and then she pairs that with a feigned attention to detail. But Kate, as you mentioned before, and I want to put a finer point on it, Ashton Washington is also in a hurry to help others succeed. You artfully reveal a character of real significance in this film, the recipient of an Ashton Washington scholarship, which I find astonishing. I find it such a true measure of her as a human being that she is reaching back to help others the moment she's in the door. This is defining to her character.
Oh yeah. That was because I had thought that she had started that initially. I thought that she had started that scholarship when she was with the Bears, but no, she started it with her very first paycheck. The very first time that she had received any money from a job in football, she said, okay, I'm going to start this scholarship for young women of color in Mississippi. This is a young woman who doesn't have to do this. There's no reason she should. I mean, I think just she's a great example of representation just by being herself, but she also wants to make sure that others have an easier path than her. You know, she kind of blazed the trail, but she's trying to make sure that those that come behind her have it much easier than her.
Ambition and altruism rarely share the same spirit. Ashton Washington's extraordinary story titled Jobs Not Finished, directed and produced by Kate Espejo, is part of the NFL 360 Women in Football special Saturday noon Eastern on Fox. Coming up after the break, Melissa Stark, time traveler. That's right, because her career spans past and present and future. And Melissa, I want to know from where you stand what the future holds. This special episode of NFL Total Access, the podcast, is coming right back. Thank you for listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy here with a now monthly reminder to all of you listening that NFL 360 is doing the most compelling and I would argue the most important work around these parts. Today's guests, Melissa Stark and Kate Espejo, host and producer, respectively, of the NFL 360 Women in Football special airing Saturday noon Eastern on Fox. It is a show informed by and inspired by football, but listener, it's bigger than football. In NFL 360, sport is the prism, and through it shines the light of great story and great character. Melissa and Kate, the final segment of your show is something of a fireside chat, a roundtable discussion between Melissa and analytics expert Cynthia Freeland and the host of NFL Total Access, the broadcast, Kimmy Checks. And Mel, it's a great way to finish the show. It's so personal. It's so raw. And you get from both Kimmy and Cynthia fascinating details about their journeys in their life and their journeys in their career in football. Kimmy rising through the ranks of an NFL program aimed at identifying and nurturing talent, and she is immensely talented, so much so that being uniquely her, as she told you, was not just her goal, but it was also her method and her superpower. Cynthia, having turned a master's degree in predictive analytics and an algorithm she coded herself, by the way, into a role as tracker of NFL trends and reader of NFL tea leaves, a studious approach that she herself calls the anti-hot take take. Kate, you cultivated the dreams of a kid from Central California growing up amongst the orange groves of Porterville to be an artist, to be a storyteller, to be a filmmaker, to be your authentic self, who, like Ashton Washington, you didn't know exactly what you wanted to do, but you knew that you wanted to do something great. Mel, you started as a production assistant in college athletics at the University of Virginia in my home state, and now you are one of the most recognizable people in all of sport. And I hope that there are young women listening, or parents of young women, that invite them to listen so they can be encouraged by the diversity of experience in this room alone, by the countless angles of approach taken by women in football. Mel, we were just talking the other day, and you said with joy, and you said it earlier on this podcast, that there is no one way to do it. And I think that's the glorious truth, right? There is no single lane to merge onto. There are countless ways in to become a scout, a coach, an analyst, a reporter, and yes, a player too, and one day soon, an NFL GM. I think maybe you would agree that's the ultimate test of how far we've come, is that there are so many different ways to get in.
And there's so many different ways to get in, and there's so many more opportunities, and you don't have to be pinned to one of them. You can you can explore many different areas now, and the doors have been open. The doors have been, I guess, knocked down. I don't know if the women, you know, some of the women don't want to look at themselves that way. They don't. Lo Locus always says, "I'm not a pioneer. Just call me coach.
Just call me coach.
I don't want that title." I just, she feels like she's made it if she's sitting in a meeting and they just say, "Hey, coach," you know. And that's the way I felt. Like, I just want to be one of, you know, it used to be like I'm one of the guys, but now just, you know, one of, I don't even know what the word is, but you just want
well, it's,
to
I think
be
maybe
accepted.
Maybe it's being one of one, being your, just being yeah. your true authentic self, being yourself. And the fact is that if that door was kicked down, then there are Melissa Stark boot marks on that door because you were part of the group that was kicking that door down. But Mel, you heard Cynthia talk about what she called opportunity cost, which to me at first sounded like a business phrase, but then I realized she meant that for women, there tend to be very specific costs attached to each and every opportunity. You want to break molds, you want to shatter ceilings, you want to challenge Jurassic notions of gender roles. Well, there's an opportunity cost. You want to be a mom too? Well, there's an opportunity cost. Mel, you have four children. You have a remarkable career and an enviable platform. You seem to have it all. Here's a tough question. How? What's the trick?
I know that's the question, right? How do you have it all? I walked away. I left and I was okay leaving. I said, you know, having children and having a family was very important to me. So I was the sideline reporter for Monday Night Football when I was 26 years old. And then I was covering Olympics and I was pregnant with my first child and went to the Today Show because ultimately, remember I told you, I absolutely love news. I realized news is very difficult for a mother because nothing's planned. Everything is breaking. So sports, ultimately, anytime I was reading the news on the Today Show, I would read the news and a sports story would come on and I would absolutely light up. So sports is where I belong. I absolutely know it. But yes, I left. I had four kids in under 4 years. That includes twins. And so I left from about 2008 after the Beijing Olympics till about 2012. And I had to be okay with that. I had to say, okay, this is what, I've got to put my family first. So like I said, everyone, and you know what's so fun now is I always said then, gosh, I wish I had kids that could have appreciated this, that could be on the fields with me, that, you know, and now they are, and it's right. so much fun. Right. Our dog is named Brady. My daughter absolutely adores Tom Brady. She got to meet him at Christmas last year. It's now they come along and they're a part of it. And I didn't miss all of that, but I had to have, and this is really important, I had to have champions along the way. I had to have people that believed in me. And really a big one for me was John Madden. And I have to say, John Madden, you know, for whatever reason, I was almost like a daughter, but I was also a coworker, but I was someone who he could train. You know, he brought me in. He taught me how to watch film. He respected me. He became such a dear friend. And that really helped. And so anybody who's listening, I would just say, you know, find that person, find someone who believes in you or can mentor you or can take you under their wing, because you, more than ever then, I think I needed it, you know, maybe now not as much because we have paved the way and we have created a lot of these roles and it is more accepted. But boy, I needed that then. That is the absolute truth.
Kate, I think the real American dream isn't riches and fame, as nice as that would be. But I reckon the real American dream is more nuanced than that. I think it's a luxury that comes from a sense of peace, a sense of belonging. Mel, you mentioned belonging a moment ago, and I think that's nail on the head. Knowing that you're with the right people, knowing that you're where you need to be. Kate, are you where you want to be? And does that come with a sense of belonging?
For me, when I first got my job here at the NFL, even just as a PA, I posted a picture and I was like, dream job acquired, was what I posted. Because I had wanted to do documentaries for a long time. I went to school for that. I went to USC Film School and studied film and television, but I mainly wanted to do documentaries. And that started with a love of the arts that was instilled in me by my parents. And they... I mean, my mom would let me watch probably movies, but they both would let me watch movies that I probably, you wouldn't let your kid watch. Like, my favorite movie growing up when I was 4 years old was The Quiet Man with John Wayne, which I don't think is normal for a four-year-old. Explains a lot about me.
If you have that on your bingo card, listener,
yeah, that was,
you're lying.
That was my favorite movie, and so they instilled a, you know, my dad would make me listen, sit with him and like listen to music. My mom would take me to museums, and so I just developed a love of the arts at a very, very young age and knew that that's what I wanted to get into. And then, you know, on top of that, every Sunday I sat with my dad and we would live and die by how the San Francisco 49ers did. So those were my two big loves, was basically the arts and sports, especially football. And so for me, I feel like I am where I need to be. I mean, I love being here, being a woman at the NFL, making these stories where we're showing not even just the stories underneath the helmets of players, but of different people and different aspects of the game that, you know, are representing communities that you might not have thought would be involved in football, like women, like, you know, with 2 years ago when we did the Carl Nassib piece as the first out NFL player. That answer your question?
Well, it does. Because somebody who was seeking a place to work in the arts, to be a filmmaker, to be a documentarian, you are bringing that love and that artistry to our world, and we benefit from it because you are putting your unique perspective on stories that, A, we didn't even know to look for, and B, we wouldn't have found if we even began. And yet you find them, you bring them to us, and they become, they broaden and they deepen our understanding and our connection to this game that we love so much. And so I just want to say thank you to you, Kate, for the work that you're doing, the work that you have done, and the work that I expect from you in the days and weeks and months to come. You're very good at this. I'm really so thrilled that you made time for us today, and I'm so proud to be your colleague, and I'm really proud of the work that you've done in this NFL 360 Women in Football special airing this Saturday on Fox, noon Eastern. I want to thank today's other special guest. What's her name again? Oh, yeah, the legend, Melissa Stark, and remind you one last time about NFL 360 Women in Football, Saturday, Fox, noon Eastern. You can also access this incredible material at NFL.com/NFL360. And, of course, when we look for Kate's work, don't forget that your weekends end with Melissa's work. They do for me anyway, Melissa. I mean, I watch 10 hours of football every Sunday in preparation for my job during the week. And I know Monday Night Football is important, and I know it counts, and I know that that's in your rearview mirror in terms of your career. But my process ends with Melissa Stark on the field, whoever the game interview is at the end of Sunday. And when you're done and when you turn and walk away, boom, that's when my TV goes off and I can go be a husband and a father again. So thank you. Thank you so much for
Thank you.
Appreciate your friendship and your fellowship all these years. Kate, thanks again to both of you for what you do, for how you do it, and for making time for us today.
We're happy to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
And I want to invite the listener to join us next time when we begin our countdown to the draft. 32 teams, 32 very specific draft agendas. We will start in the division of the champs. We're going team by team in the AFC West. That's Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, and Raiders. Mel, I wish you'd stick around. I really need your advice on that one. That's next time. Till then, ciao for now. NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.